This morning, though, I want to talk about who is the God you are following. Because in this world we live in, there's lots of deceptions about who Jesus is, who God is. There's so many different religions that say they believe in God, right? But is it the same God? That word, I was doing some word searches, okay, some reading here. So I'm going to read some stuff here. It's not all my words here on this first part here. It says, the Word of God has been used in the world throughout history. The vast majority of people in the world have believed in God, okay? Yet, although notions of an absolute divine power are found in virtually all the world's religions, the precise definition of what God is and is for us, it really varies greatly among the religions. And usually it's within specific sects of things and even person to person. And you see that. If you disciple people or if you get out in the world and share the gospel, you're going to hear all kinds of things that people believe. And a lot of it's not even in the Bible, but it's what they believe, right? They say they believe in a God, but it's just got this twist to it that fits them. It's like people try to take what they perceive as what God would want of them, and they make their own religion. They make their own God, right? So they justify sometimes the actions that they have because they've created a God that fits their narrative, right? And we see this happening blatantly right now in front of the world. I mean, right now we see that. But it's been going on for thousands of years. This is nothing new. So typically, monotheistic theology describes God as, you know, omniscient or omnipotent or omnipresent. And in most theologians, they believe as well as both the creator and sustainer of the universe, right? So I may be talking a little bit of theology here, but I'm making a point here, okay? Because God may be understood as, in some religions, as male or as female or as both male and female or beyond gender. I've heard it all, right? And that kind of impersonal abstract is the way I see it. Maybe it's an energy source. Some people believe that God is energy, right? Mother Earth and energy and all this kind of stuff that you've probably heard of. God is conceived sometimes as of a personal being that can relate with all aspects of human experience. Now that kind of fits into our narrative a little bit there, doesn't it? Of attributes, those attributes of goodness and justice and love, right? That kind of fits in where we're at. But in most religions, God is recognized to have the disposition of like a parent who just watches over humankind or mankind and fathers them, you know, cares about them because we are called God's children, right? He's protecting. He's educating. He's also disciplining. We don't like that, but God does discipline. It's conviction. He wants that because He wants to raise us well. How many parents here wanted that for their kids? Right? You want to do the best you can to raise your kids well. I think God's the same way. There's a lot of theologians that speak of God's heart that longs for fellowship with human beings and even suffers to see them in misery. I think God's that way too. But for us believers, this really matters a lot. It matters a lot. Who is your God? You know, faith is relational. You know why? Because you can't follow somebody you don't know. Amen? Worship must be directed rightly too. When we sing songs, it's not about just singing songs to your person standing next to you or yourself, right? When you worship, it's about giving God glory. It's about giving Him honor. It's about like, God, I love You. I want to thank You. I appreciate You. And our identity flows from that relationship. You hear me this morning? Our identity flows from a relationship because knowing God shapes how we believe, how we live. How's that? It shapes how we live. It shapes how we pray. It shapes our understanding of who we are. Is my mic loud this morning? It seems like it's really loud up here this morning. Maybe it needs to be. I don't know. Jesus is central to our faith. Jesus has to be the center of our church. Everything that we do in this church, every ministry that we have, every action that is taken, every teaching, every lesson given has to be centered around Jesus Christ. Has to be. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Amen? That's it. Following God means following Christ because Christians believe He is God revealed in human form. Now, I want to talk about something else. Not something else. I'm going to talk more about the same thing. How's that? I want to talk about the Trinity a little bit. So, we are Trinity believers, right? We believe in the Trinity. Clarity about God's identity, though, isn't optional. It's foundational. And sometimes we struggle with understanding what the Trinity really is, and we live in a world that says all faiths are basically the same. Same God, same destination, different paths. You know that the Muslims believe in the God of Abraham. You know that the Jews came from that same background. Same God. Different paths. Different destination, in a sense. But Jesus never spoke like that. The most important question in our discipleship process is not how sincere you are. It is this: who is the God you are following? Because our relationship, our discipleship is not behavior modification, right? It's our relation with Christ. It's what Christ does in us and through us. Christianity does not merely offer a moral code. I've talked about that before, a spiritual experience or a religious identity. Christianity, it proclaims the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and calls us to follow Him with our whole lives, not just part of our lives. I've said this so many times, it's like we have this center, and I wish I had I got a drawing of this, is you have your center here, and what is in the center here, and then what is in the outskirts of it? What revolves around your center, right? What should revolve around your center is God. God is the center, right? Maybe I said that a little bit wrong. But a lot of times we put ourselves in the center, and God's out here with everything else revolving around us. Because we put ourselves in the center, or we put something else in the center, We're always putting stuff in the center and taking God and putting Him in what's left of our life that revolves around God, that should revolve around God and not ourselves. Let me get back on track. In Matthew chapter 28, very familiar scripture, I've preached it a bajillion times, it seems like. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Very familiar scripture. But this is not just a great commission. It is a Trinitarian commission. And you cannot truly follow Jesus unless you know the worship, or know and worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three parts in one. They go together. The Trinity believer follows one God who exists eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, not one God who changes forms, but one divine being shared by three distinct persons. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's a little bit hard to comprehend, isn't it? But that's who God is. The Father, understood as Creator, source of life, the one who sends the Son. The Son, Jesus Christ, believed to be fully God and fully human, the one who reveals the Father, redeems humanity, and is followed as Lord. The Holy Spirit, God's presence with believers, guiding and empowering and convicting and comforting. That's the Trinitarian Christian, right? That's who we are. It isn't we're not just following three different beings. We're following one God who has made Himself known in three persons. That makes sense? So, we follow one God who has revealed Himself. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. The Lord is one." Israel was surrounded by polytheistic nations and many gods, many powers, many loyalties, and God begins declaring exclusive this monotheistic thing, meaning there's only one God. Because many of the nations believed in many gods. They had all kinds of different gods. But this, the Hebrew word there for one is the word that means a unity, not solitary isolation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it uses that same word, yeshed. The word really means the two are united into one. Now, where else does it say this? The two are united into one is where He's referring to marriage. The two should, you know, the father or a son leaves his father and mother and he takes a wife and the two come together and they become one flesh. The two become one. A lot of marriages struggle because they don't become one. They try to maintain their identities when their identities should become one. Right? Makes sense? When you become one in flesh, and I'm not telling you that's really easy. You throw two different personalities together and tell you, okay, you got to be one. That doesn't hardly make sense, does it, sometimes? It's hard. Different persons, one union. Biblical monotheism does not flatten God into simplicity. It guards Him from multiplication. Because today's culture that blends spirituality like a playlist on the radio, we see so many different things. But we as disciples of Jesus, we declare there is one true God and He alone defines reality. Right? He defines it all. R.T. Kendall, he writes this, God is not whoever we imagine Him to be. He is who reveals Himself to be. Amen? God is who God is. We can't change Him. The Father is God, the source of our salvation. Jesus even says this. He said, I and the Father are one. When He was asked. We are the same. Jesus was there in the beginning. He was there from the foundations of the earth. He was there. The Father is eternal, creator, planner of redemption. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, there is one God. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says this. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. Amen. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. Salvation didn't start at the cross. Hear me. It started in the heart of the Father in the beginning. Before a child is even born, a loving parent prepares a room. Amen? Don't you? And the Father prepared salvation before you were ever born. Before you ever failed. When we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. The plan was always there. Charles Stanley said this, God takes full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? We think of ourselves as disciples. Discipleship begins when we stop managing our lives and trust the Father. The Son is God, the Savior we follow. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, so the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the One and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That word there in the Greek is called logos. And God's self-expression is not merely just speech. And when that word was is a continuous eternal existence. Jesus didn't become God. He was God. He is God. And He'll always be God. Just like it says in Revelation, who was and is to come. You guys are quiet this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. If Jesus is not God, the cross is insufficient. And sin remains unpaid and death remains undefeated. But because He is God, His blood saves. His resurrection conquers death and His lordship demands obedience to us all. John Piper says this, the gospel is not a way to get people into heaven. It's a way to get people to God. Amen? Amen. Because that should be our focus. It's not about getting to heaven. It's about getting to God. And when we get to God, then He takes care of that. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Right? We have to get to God first. Amen? Amen? We have to establish that relationship with Him first. You cannot get to God unless Jesus is God Himself. And He has to be God of your life. Who's the God you're serving? Then we talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The power for discipleship. It's where we get our strength. It's where we're able to live a life free, amen, from the power of sin. It's hard not to smile when you see that little baby come bouncing around here, isn't it? Big old smile. Anyway, back to where I was at. All right. I wouldn't have it any other way, Trey. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? The Holy Spirit, that's just one part in the Scripture that's like pretty bold. We look at what the Spirit is pneuma, which is where the word we get pneumonia from in the Greek. It's where it comes from. And it literally means breath of life. It literally means wind and personal power through breath of life. Jesus, or God, from the beginning, He created mankind, He molded mankind, and then He breathed life into him. Same word used there. Definition. That breath of life is what gives us life. The power of the Holy Spirit living within you gives you life. Without the Holy Spirit in your life, you're dead. Hear me? You're dead. Dead spiritually. And we have a lot of dead, or spiritually dead people in this world because they're not serving the right God. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Says it best. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. You cannot follow Jesus by willpower. You can't be a Christian by willpower. You can't. The fruits of the Spirit, you have to have them. Because within the fruits of the Spirit, there is no self, you can have self-control. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no self-control. You're just blown around and you're always miserable because you just can't do it. You fail all the time. And then you're like the hee-haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I laugh about that, but it's true. So many people who claim to be Christians live in a world like that. Gloom and despair and agony on me. And you don't have to be that way when you're living by the Spirit. Though your body may be beat, it's like Paul's, maybe your body's going to be beat up. Maybe you're going to be wealthy at times and poor at other times. You could be shipwrecked. You could be snake bit. You can be all these things. But let me tell you, when you have the Holy Spirit living in your life, it doesn't matter. When you're in the bottom of the jail, beat up and bruised and bleeding, you can praise God. And that's what him and Silas did, right? Beautiful. Paul's in prison most of his ministry, in and out. Great example of a pastor, right? You'd hire that guy. I got something to tell you in his interview, pastoral interview. I've been in prison 9 times. Like, I don't know if we can hire a convict. Yeah? But man, for the faith, good grief. Paul was a little bit stern. He was rough around the edges. He told it like it was. If you read the scripture, Paul's pretty direct with most of his stuff. Stop it. I can just see him preaching for 2.5 hours, telling you, I love you. He starts out like that in all his letters. How much he loves you, how much he misses to see you. He's kind of like Jesus when he's writing the letters to the 7 churches. Oh, you've been doing all this stuff so good, man. You're great. I just love what I'm hearing about you. But I got to tell you about some stuff. You got to stop it. Kind of like that, Trying to live the Christian life without the Spirit is like sailing with no wind. And there's lots of effort, but no movement in your life. Are you feeling God work in your life? Are you feeling the Holy Spirit in your life? Man, there's nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, guiding and directing you. Doesn't make it easy because even the Holy Spirit told Paul, Paul's like, I got to go to Rome. Even some of his friends were telling him, Paul, you shouldn't go to Rome because you're going to find trouble there when you go. Paul was going to go to Rome and he was going to preach to the Jews in Rome. He was going to tell them, all the bigwigs there in Rome, he was going to tell them that they needed to find Jesus, to accept Jesus as the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit even told him, he was, I can just see Paul getting ready to leave, and the Holy Spirit's reminding Paul, Paul, if you go, you're going to get beat up, and you're going to get put in prison, and it's not going to end well for you. Paul's like, I know, but I got to go. It's where I have to go. And what happened? Exactly what the Holy Spirit told him. But Paul accomplished something there. It's because he had to go. Max Lucado, he writes this. He says, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live differently. I love that. We're different than everybody else in this world. Some of us are a lot more different than others. We're peculiar people, Scripture even says. And I fit that category perfectly. I'm very peculiar at times. But not just differently, distinctly. We're distinctively different. We should be, right? Because we're followers of Jesus. We do the things that Jesus did. We act like Jesus did. We're supposed to be teaching and obeying the commands that Jesus gave us. That's what the Scripture tells us, right? Matthew 28. I go back to that. We're supposed to do what we're commanded to do. What Jesus taught us to do. It makes us different in this world we live in. Why all these other views fall short? I can give you a short definition of this. This is my short version. Islam, God without a son, no cross, no assurance. Judaism, Messiah awaited, fulfillment rejected in the Scripture. Mormonism, many gods. Biblical monotheism is denied. Jehovah's Witnesses, this one was a tough one. Created Christ, powerless salvation. That's just my take on it. Hinduism, impersonal, ultimate reality, no personal redeemer. Buddhism, really, no God, no grace. One you don't really hear of too much is Sikhism, is one God, no incarnation, and no atonement. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this, there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation is found in no one else, for there is no one other than the name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that name is who? Jesus Christ. The truth is not arrogant. The truth is love and clarity. And the gospel is this, the Trinity at work for you and me is the Father planned our salvation, the Son purchased our salvation, and the Spirit applies our salvation in our life. Amen? We need to remember that one, right? First Corinthians 15:3 says, Christ died for our sins. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. You hear that right there. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb and rose bodily and victorious. And He reigns as Lord today. Amen? He's just not the God of 2,000 years ago. He's the God of today in your life and in my life right now working. So there's a call to action. How should you respond to that? Who's the God in your life? Who's the God in your life? You know, I see a lot of people that got their kids in the middle of their... Their kids are their gods. And church and everything else just revolves around that. It's hard. But we worship the triune God intentionally, don't we? That's who we are as believers. We follow Jesus obediently. We depend daily on the Holy Spirit, as Paul did. Paul said, I get up and I die daily. We have to live that way. Why? Because we fail. We're good at failing. We're good at it. But the closer you stay to Christ, the closer you stay to God, the closer you rely on the Holy Spirit, the less you'll fail. Romans chapter 10, if you openly declare that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? You will be saved. So I would plead with you, if today you realize that you've admired Jesus, and that's been your life, but never really surrendered your life to Him fully, that right now is your moment to do so. Before you leave this place, now is the time that you surrender your life to Him. You come to the Father, and you trust the Son, and you receive the Holy Spirit. That's simple, isn't it? It's a repentance of sin and turn from self-rule and trust Jesus alone. And if you do that, you'll be saved. Because Jesus is the Lord. Jesus should be in the center of your life. And everything else revolves around that. Because as disciples, we're not just following an idea, right? We're not just following an idea, some hidden code. It's following a living God that loves us. And so I leave you with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 this morning. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's my heart for you today. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on who God is. And not just who He was, but who He is in your life. And who's your God? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, I thank You for this moment, Lord. I thank You for this great group of people always, Lord, that have come here today. Lord, I hope they leave with a sense of knowing that You are real and that You are God and that Your Holy Spirit is with them if they so desire to accept it. Lord, I pray that we leave here better than we came, full of the Spirit, ready to serve, obedient Christ followers. Lord, help us in every way. Lord, I pray blessings upon the families here. Blessings upon the individuals that are here today with their hearts open. May they receive Your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all again. I hope you have a wonderful week. Remember, we do have Wednesday night services.